This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, have a good morning to you. Tony D, SB Nation AM, alongside Ron Culver. I spent yesterday, and it was a gorgeous day where I live in, just outside of Nashville, Tennessee. It was a gorgeous day. Hot and humid, but still, it was just beautiful. And yesterday afternoon, I spent most of the day inside watching the World Cup match between England and Croatia. Ron, what did I watch here? Because I was so impressed with Croatia that I feel like, because I don't follow this regularly and I'm not as into it as other people, was I fooling myself, or is this a big deal that Croatia won this match?
It's a very big deal.
Okay, good.
Croatia, it's the first time.
I felt like it was a big deal, but at the same time, I was like, well, I don't really know much about this, so I better not keep my voice down.
No, it's actually the first time this World Cup where I got emotional during the game. I didn't know how much I was pulling for England until they lost.
Oh, okay. So you were pulling for England. I was kind of pulling for the young, the country with 4 million people.
Yeah, no, they played in a fantastic tournament.
They really did play. Maybe it was great. I mean, I listen. I'm not the biggest soccer fan in the world. I get into this every 4 years because I think it's kind of cool, and I want to know what the rest of the world is watching. I want to see what the rest of the world is watching. I loved it. I saw England when they scored 5 minutes in the match, and I'm thinking, all right, maybe I won't see another goal in this one. I wasn't pulling for Croatia hard. Like, I wasn't on pins and needles, but the reality was I was kind of like, this is an exciting match, and I'm watching this, and I kept thinking to myself as I was watching this, if you're in England and you are, this soccer is everything you love. There's no other room for other things. It is everything you love. How devastating are these losses? Well, once every 4 years, you're like, we gotta wait again. I can't believe it.
This one was huge for them. You can tell. I mean, even though they have another game to play, they're in the third place game, which they'll play on Saturday. You could tell that this team just wanted to pack up their bags and go home.
No kidding. Oh, my goodness. All right, we'll talk more about that coming up as well. But I want to sell you on what's going on in Major League Baseball right now as we head towards the All-Star game. I'm Tony D. This is SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
A full hour today. We got a lot of different things to go to. But I did want to start by kind of selling a little bit of what's going on in Major League Baseball, especially in the American League. A number of years ago, I want to say about 10 plus years ago, I was working in Denver, and I was talking to a guy who covers the Nuggets, and we were just having an on-air conversation, and I said, you know, I feel like it's one of those years in the Western Conference, it's like a Halley's Comet type of year. It comes once every, 76 years, like the Comet does. I said, it looks like the Western Conference and the NBA, you're going to need at least 50 wins in order to make the playoffs. And it was, and he looked at the standings. He said, yeah, it's just this bizarre way the Western Conference is so good that you got to be really, really good just to make one of the top, to be the top eight. You know, you're not going to get in with just a mediocre record. You got to have a really good record. And George Karl even had addressed this. He was the head coach of the Nuggets at the time. And it was just this weird moment where you'd feel like you're not going to see a lot of this. So enjoy it while it's happening. I look at the American League standings and I get that same kind of feeling. Like, you look at the records of the teams that are at the top. And yeah, there's Baltimore and Kansas City that are just miserable baseball teams, just awful baseball teams that are already 38 and 24 games out of first place. Texas is not, particularly good. But if you look at the elite, Boston and the Yankees and Houston and Seattle, the win totals that they have right now, the winning percentage that they have right now, is really impressive, and it's historic. I said this yesterday. The Yankees are probably going to win 100 games, and they're probably going to have to play a one-game playoff against a team that's going to be close to 100 wins as well in Seattle, barring a drop-off. I mean, the Red Sox are winning 70% of their baseball games. They've won 9 in a row. I mean, they played 94 games already in 162 schedule. They have 65 victories. Now, like, you see that and you go, wow, that's incredible. Then you look at the Houston Astros and they're 62-33. The Yankees already have 60 wins. Nobody in the National League has 60 wins. Right, Arizona's got 51. The Atlanta Braves and the Philadelphia Phillies have 51. Milwaukee has 55. Nobody has 60 wins yet. The American League has 3 teams that have 60, and Seattle is 58. So as I said earlier, it's kind of one of those years where, like I said 10 years ago, like the Western Conference, we needed like 50 wins to get in. You're going to need 90, high 90s to get into the playoffs in the American League. And one of those teams is going to get eliminated in a one-game playoff before the thing really kicks into series play. It's just sit back and enjoy it because it's really been fun. I know a lot of people don't get into baseball until it gets to the fall. It's a reason they call it the dog days of summer. Games kind of just so it comes in so consistently. It's hard to absorb it all. It's hard to get into a rhythm. I mean, I moved over the weekend or 2 weekends ago. And I mean, I didn't have access to anything. And it felt like I missed out on so many good games and so many good moments in Major League Baseball. You miss a couple of days, you can miss a ton. It just occurs night in and night out. So I get it when people sort of say, hey, I got to back off on this a little bit. Kind of wake me up late August, early September, and let's see where we go with this. But pay attention now because like the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Astros, Cleveland, they're all playing exceptional baseball. And just keep an eye on it because it's going to be fun to keep you occupied until football season rolls around. But when September gets together and we really start seeing where these teams are going and playing each other a little more and see where it's processing, it's going to be a blast. It really, especially I think the Yankees-Red Sox, it's a natural rivalry. I know a lot of you aren't into it because it's been driven down your throat by the media. But the way these two teams are playing right now, it's a rivalry that's really going to have some value at the end of the season. So just pay attention to what's going on because it's pretty historic what's going on in baseball right now, especially in the American League.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting when you get towards late August, early September. And I almost feel – I'm with you on this one. I almost feel that everything's just going to tighten up. And it's going to – in the American League, we're almost going to have a playoff atmosphere beginning a month before the playoffs actually start.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I think this is going to be fun because, as I said yesterday – right? Nobody wants to be in the one-game playoff. No one is going to be content the way these teams are playing. I mean, and look, no one is going to feel like they should be in a one-game playoff. The Yankees are not going to barely get in. Seattle, if they continue to play well, is not going to barely get in. Two teams are going to have to play a one-game playoff, and both of them are going to have excellent records. So it's not going to be like, wow, this 87 win team is barely got into the postseason. There's going to be some really good baseball teams that could win it all playing in a one game playoff, and you're gonna see the Yankees, the Mariners, Boston, or these teams really try to avoid that. The Astros really tried to avoid that, so they're going to keep it going until the end. And I think that's what's going to be interesting. You're right, a month out, you're going to start seeing some pressure. You're going to see some teams really starting to, figure out their rotation as they head down to the stretch run. I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be, it's not just great because we're heading into postseason in October, but it's going to be great because these teams are excellent, and I'm going to be curious as to what their managers are going to do to sort of prep them up for that run. It's just, to me, it's been, I've had a really good time watching it. I've had a really good time watching it, especially the Red Sox. They struck out 18 Texas Rangers last night. 18. Right? Chris Sale had 12, and Craig Kimbrell had 4, and a guy in mid-relief had 2. They struck out 18 Texas Rangers last night.
But it is the Rangers.
I know it's the Rangers, but the Major League Baseball record is 20? 21? I mean, they had 18. The Red Sox combined for 20 strikeouts in a game like 2 years ago. I mean, their pitching is fantastic. I mean, it's fantastic. Listen, the Yankees, in a 9-0 win over the pathetic Baltimore Orioles, the Yankees had 3 home runs And Giancarlo Stanton didn't have one of them and still had four hits. That's how good their lineup is. So it's gonna be great. I just hold on to your seats because it's gonna be fun. By the way, real quick, the All-Star Game roster came out. Are you at all? I mean, the Home Run Derby, I should say. Are we done with that, or are people still liking that event?
No, I think ever since they changed the format, it's actually
it's gotten better.
It's a lot. I find it more interesting now that it's a tournament style. There's only you have 5 minutes instead of making 10 outs, because there were times you could take pitches and that wasn't considered an out, and it would just drag on and on and on. Now you only have 5 minutes to do your damage. But to your point, how the American League is so dominant, I have a really good feeling that a National League player is going to win the Home Run Derby.
Let me guess. Bryce Harper.
No, I like the National League's odds.
Oh, Max Muncy.
No. The reason being, I mean, did you really take a look at the roster?
I have not taken a look at the roster. I just saw some of the names.
Okay, so there's eight contestants in the Home Run Derby. Seven of them are from the National League.
Oh, come on. Really?
So I have a good feeling that the National League is going to win this.
Is it because the American League players are like, nah, I can't do it anymore?
I don't know. Like,
why isn't Aaron Judge doing it? Aaron Judge won it last year. Why wouldn't he do it again? He's young. Don't give me the I'm too old, my body aches. Stop it. You're built like a giant.
He's been in the league for how many years now? I mean, he's got to rest up his body.
I know. He's like, oh, I can't do the Home Run Derby anymore. Thanks, guys. It just hurts too much.
Exactly. I mean, he was one and done.
This is one of the reasons with the Home Run Derby. If you're going to give me the Home Run Derby, I really want players to want to do it. It reminds me so much of the slam dunk contest, where you watch the slam dunk contest and you're like, yeah, but I'm missing a few guys that I really think should be in this. And the Home Run Derby does the same thing. I always feel like there's some missing players that should really be in this thing.
Oh, of course.
And again, I don't understand. Like, I get it. If a baseball player sat down with me and said, listen, man, I know it looks easy to you, but it's really, really taxing. And it's really not as fun as you think it is. I'm out there just swinging the hell out of that thing. And I get it. But at the same time, can you just entertain me and just participate? Come on.
Do it for the fans.
Do it for the fans. Show up for the fans.
I mean, when I looked at the roster, there's some decent home run hitters. There's some, some excitement. I almost feel that it's designed for Bryce Harper to win it at home.
Yes.
And that was the overall feeling that I had from it, was that I looked at it, I was like, all right, well, this is Bryce Harper's to lose.
Well, they would love that. They always like that because they like to get the local fans rallied up. But I just am looking at the bracket right now. He's going up against Freddie Freeman. What's not to like about Freddie Freeman?
Right. No, I mean, I'm not saying there's not decent players.
No, there is. There is. You're right.
But I don't know. For me, I was like, okay, I wish Mike Trout did it. I wish Aaron Judge did it.
Oh, absolutely.
Giancarlo
Stanton should be in it.
Giancarlo Stanton. I mean, he hits for a mile. Instead, or Chris Bryant. Why not? Why can't he join in the fun?
If you think Bryce Harper is going to win this, because look, I agree with you. I think it's set up for Bryce Harper to win it. But if you were a betting guy, now that betting seems to be legal all across the board, across the way, who would you bet on to win this?
A National League player.
A National League player.
Yeah, I mean, I would do...
I'm going with Alex Bregman. I'm going to take Alex Bregman.
Like the dark horse.
Yes, I'm going to take the American League representative.
It's almost like a roulette wheel. The safe bet on a roulette wheel is red or black.
What's the key to winning the Home Run Derby? Is it getting the right pitches? Right, because you said they can take them now. What is there a strategy involved?
No, actually,
or is it just,
you can't take them now.
You can. That's what you said. No, I said that. You said you can take them.
No, you can't.
Oh, you can't.
No, you used to be able to, and it didn't affect your time. Now you only have 5 minutes.
Oh, that's right. So you don't want to blow the time by waiting for the right pitch.
Exactly.
Just swinging anything.
You're literally swinging at every single pitch. It's almost as if you're swinging the bat, and before the ball even lands, you're swinging at the next one.
All right. You know, it might help if I actually watched last year's Home Run Derby before I talk about it, because I don't watch the Home Run Derby.
Ever since they switched to the tournament bracket style and gave a 5-minute time limit on it, it's really been entertaining.
God. All right. Well, very good, because I'm going to now watch it. I'll probably watch it now. I just avoided it. I had reached a point where it was too long. I had reached a point where I didn't care, and I had reached a point where back was driving me nuts, and I just said, that's enough.
Yeah, no, I can't guarantee that you won't hear a back.
It was too much.
Oh,
couple of years ago, I have nothing against Berman. He's one of the pioneers in the broadcasting business, but I couldn't understand how you could be that excited for the 15th home run you see at a derby. I mean, golly, it was after a while I said, you can't be this up all the time when you broadcast the home run derby, can you?
Yeah.
And I just got to a point where I said, I can't watch this thing anymore. Who wins, and I just can't. It was taking 2 weeks. I couldn't deal with it.
The only home runs that you can really get excited for are the ones where, without a doubt, the guy hit it, he was bat flipping that bat to the moon.
Yeah.
Because he knew that it was gone. Players on the field don't even move because they know it was on. Those are the ones you can get excited for, because then you're talking about distance. Okay, what's he going to hit? Is it second tier level? Is he aiming for the parking lot? Those are the exciting ones. I'm with you. Just a normal routine home run that just gets over the fence. You can't get excited for that.
He was losing his mind over home runs in an event called the Home Run Derby. Like, after a while, you just got to slow down a little bit. All right, so home run derby. We'll talk a little bit more about the All-Star game, because I got a few thoughts on how to, I don't know, not improve it, but, you know, just keep it more interesting. That is also coming up. Plus, we got some things to talk to from the NFL. I also got things to talk to in golf. And my next story, though, involves something that I've been waiting a long time to happen, and it's finally happening. That is coming up next on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. If you want to get into the conversation, do you watch the Home Run Derby? Or are you like me and just... I got sick of it and now need to watch it again because they changed all the rules. At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you're guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts you need. Guaranteed low prices ensure you're always getting the best deal. In fact, O'Reilly's will match any local auto parts store's prices on any like item. They have the parts you need at the prices you can be sure of at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. All right, this next story, Ron. I have been waiting for somebody to do something like this, and I hope it comes to fruition. A group of Louisville men's basketball players are filing a lawsuit against the NCAA because they got their 2013 national championship and 2012 Final Four appearance vacated. Well, you probably remember why they got it vacated, because a recruiting coach brought in some hookers and some prostitutes to party with the recruits and players, cost Rick Pitino his job. And it was kind of nasty and awful and everything that you would want out of a school athletic scandal. But here's the thing I've always thought of. Why does the NCAA do this all the time when somebody is in trouble or does something wrong? They take away national championships. They take away wins, as if the penalty really, really sticks, right? And I'm glad that players who say, hey, we had nothing to do with this, but you're ruining what we've accomplished and what I want in my life. You're taking that away because of this. I hope they win. And I hope the NCAA finds other ways to penalize schools. Why can't the NCAA just say, all right, they won a national title, but going forward, you're going to lose these amount of scholarships and you got to pay this fine, or you're not going to play in any more postseason games, all of those things, instead of saying, oh, what you saw never happened. We're going to erase history. It's very George Orwellian, don't you think?
Oh, I totally agree. I think, yeah, the NCAA, come down hard on the school, not the kids.
Do something financially to the school, or tell them they can't accept money for television money, or something that really hurts them, the bottom line, so you keep this. But don't tell a kid that was the MVP of the championship game. He's no longer the MVP.
And let's face it.
I mean, Luke Hancock wants his MVP back.
And honestly, you're an 18-year-old kid. You're being recruited by one of the biggest schools in the country in your sport. And this school is saying, hey, man, I'm going to offer you sex. You're 18 years old. How do you say no?
You don't.
You have no attachments.
That's the problem. You don't, right? And I mean, some will, but most don't.
Yeah, but and you're also under the opinion that, okay, well, you know, these guys have the best interest. They have my best interest. So I'm going to trust what they're going to say. And yet, you know, at the end of the day, when you look at it, who really got penalized? Yeah, sure, Louisville, you know, they have a national title taken away. They have a Final Four appearance. They vacated all these wins, blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, Louisville didn't really hurt them, because you're still looking at them as a basketball school. It's a basketball program.
I like the idea of, okay, look, when something like this goes down and the NCAA has to sort of punish a school, because when you bring in recruits, you're responsible for those student athletes, and you know, you're telling mom and dads that their kids are going to be okay, and you're going to take them on this trip, and then they go on these trips, and there's hookers, and there's prostitutes, and there's whatever else they're partying with. So if you're the NCAA, yeah, you've got to come down and say, all right, we're going to be penalizing you. But I don't think the penalty of vacating titles and vacating appearances really amounts to anything, because the diehard fans are always still going to claim it. The only thing that you're affecting is the history books and the awkwardness of talking about it, right? So like as a broadcaster, let's say Louisville is 4 years or 5 years from now, Louisville's playing for a national championship. Well, how many do they have, right? Do they have four or do they have five? I mean, does that count? Do I have to bring that up? It's just this awkward revisionist history, rather than saying, look, there's a whole bunch of tainted sports outcomes, right? But we don't go back and start taking erasers to pens and start scribbling it out and making a mess of it. You can say that Louisville won the 2013 national title, but you could also say it was on probation for this, or it was suspended from postseason play for this. You don't have to take the accomplishment of Luke Hancock, for example, who was the outstanding player, and tell the world that didn't actually happen because some recruits were getting hookers and prostitutes at a party. The two don't correlate. And it's unfair to Luke Hancock, who should live the rest of his life as a most outstanding player of a Final Four in a national championship run. Instead, he's got to answer those awkward questions for the rest of his life. Yeah, I had it. It got taken away because guys we were recruiting were getting free sex. It's messy, and it's too messy. And I hope they win this lawsuit. I'm not saying strip the NCAA of its power to penalize. I'm saying this kind of penalty, this drives me crazy. They did this to Reggie Bush, right? Reggie Bush may have gotten a house, all that things. They said USC, all of this is gone. They also said Reggie Bush is high, as if we didn't see it occur, as if we didn't see it happen.
Right, as if,
and I'm tired of this because I can't keep up with all of this.
Well, it's as if, you know, all those free gifts, the freebies that they got, where their student athletes are not allowed to accept anything for free, took away what they the hard work that they actually put in.
Right, exactly.
And that's where the issue is. I mean, Reggie Bush grinded that season because his parents got a house, or because he got a car, or maybe he was getting, you know, money on the side so he could, you know, afford to eat outside the school cafeteria. It did. He still put in the work to be the best football player that year. And now we're telling him, like, no, all that hard work you did, yeah, that doesn't mean anything. You got a house.
Yeah, you got a, right. You got a house. Exactly. And I'm glad somebody is stepping up to this, because, look, we were talking about this yesterday with the NCAA. When they do these investigations, they don't have subpoena power. So when they do investigations, it takes a while. It takes a long time, because what you're trying to do when you're the NCAA is you're trying to eventually get people to talk. Initially, people won't talk because they don't know what they're talking. They don't know what they're going to talk about, how it's going to be construed, how much responsibility. Nobody wants to be, you know, the whistleblower of a program where it escalates into problems locally for that program, right? You don't want to be the guy that puts Alabama, for example, on the chopping block when you live in Birmingham. You don't want to be the guy in Kentucky that puts John Calipari and the Wildcats in trouble. You don't want to be the guy in Louisville that puts them in trouble. But when the investigations continue and more people are kind of saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. But just taking away an accomplishment of the kids who probably had nothing to do with this at the time. Nah, I'm not going to do that.
back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you've been with us this morning on SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. You can hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. You can also hit Ron Culver up at Ron Culver with two N's. I just retweeted. I follow a tweet called Super 70 Sports, and I just retweeted this because I think this is one of the more truer sports toy statements of all time. It's the electric football game from like the 70s, and it shows a Washington Redskins player, and it says Riggins breaks into the clear. He's at the 50, the 45, the 50, the other 45. He's going in circles. Why do we buy this? Did you ever play electric football with the figures and it's like a magnet game. It would rattle and then the players would all move.
Yeah.
It's the most frustrating thing in the world when your player would go in circles. It's not supposed to go in circles.
I never quite got how it simulated a football game.
And I didn't either. And my brother and I used to set this up. And they would give you instructions, and there was like a little dial underneath the players, right? You could twist it, and it would supposedly help the player go in a particular way. So you would spend a good couple of minutes setting up the entire offensive line to block, let's say, to the left, so your player would run to the right. But it never worked out that way. They would just spin in circles, and everybody would go crazy. And then you had that foam thing, and the quarterback would flick it, and I guess if it touched the player, it was a completed pass.
Yeah. Most of the time we just kind of set up and it almost turned into a mini like battlefield.
Yeah, it was cool if you could get the electric football that actually had like the player, the team's logos and the end zones and the NFL logo in the middle and maybe the figurines that looked like the players, but that was about it. Other than that, it was an effort in futility to get a real game going.
Now, speaking on games that simulated sports, I pumped a ton of quarters into that bubble hockey.
Oh yeah, all the time. Yeah,
it was like kind of like foosball, but it actually worked better than foosball, or was easier to play than foosball.
Did you do the United States versus Russia?
Oh,
game?
Of course.
Yeah, was there
the any
other button? No, I don't think there was any other.
It was USSR.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. USSR. You had the boo button. You could press that, and it was. I can't do that. Listen, I played. I had the game, the table hockey game. I was never good at it. I'm not good at foosball. I'm not good at those kind of things. I just don't have the coordination to get to the right pole for the player. Now, my brother was excellent at it as a kid. He was really good. Like he could make that puck fly and get it to the right guy, and then one time slap shots. And I was always looking down to see if I had the right. By the time I did, the puck was lost, so I wasn't very good at it. I tried. I gave it my full effort to pull that off, but I just could never pull that off.
No, I don't remember really passing it.
No,
from one
I just tried to
another.
Shoot it,
was just,
it as quickly
you know,
as
hit
could.
It as hard as you can until it got stuck in the corner, and then you had to kind of hit it,
shake the game,
a little bit to get that. You know, yeah, you always had the one I love too is that you had guys, there was always a guy on each team, or maybe there was two on each team that had the extra long hockey stick.
Oh, yeah.
So for
yeah.
years, not really watching hockey as on the regular, I really thought that there were guys who played hockey that had extra long sticks.
The guys in the corners that had the hot, because in case the puck got stuck, they needed
the
a way
puck
to
got stuck. Exactly.
Get it out.
You know, and then there were guys with shorter sticks, and like, oh, that must just be a hockey thing.
Yeah, those were great. The game that you could buy at home of that, one of the things I always liked was that it came with a mini Stanley Cup. And I always thought that was really cool. And then you would get the players, and the players, and the bubble hockey had three-dimensional players. The game I had as a kid had two-dimensional players with the hockey players as stickers. And you could change, if you wanted to get a new team, you could get a new set of stickers. You could put them on there. And they were flat. But the 3D guys that you got at the arcade, now that was the best. Because the sticks were long, you know, able to do that.
Yeah, once I saw that was there, you know, if I went to, most of the time it was like at a Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, yeah, Chuck E. Cheese, sure.
So I would go, you know, go as a family, and there was one at the town I grew up in. It was two-story Chuck E. Cheese. Bottom floor was the restaurant.
You had a two-story Chuck E. Cheese?
Two-story Chuck E. Cheese. And it was a small town. We're talking about like a town of 50,000 people, and they had a two-story Chuck E. Cheese. Bottom floor was the restaurant and the dance stage. Upstairs was the arcade, and I would be up there the entire time. I don't even remember really having pizza.
I've taken my kids to Chuck E. Cheese many times because I have to pay for my sins in life. That's usually my purgatory where I have to go. When I was a kid, though, Chuck E. Cheese had video games. Now I feel like my kids, when they were younger, every time we went, it was just getting tickets.
Oh, yeah.
That was the only thing they wanted.
I don't ever remember, except for like skee ball.
Yeah, that was it.
You had the skee ball, that gave you tickets, and then you can go and get an eraser. And that
was exciting. Was nothing worse than like your four-year-old daughter collecting all these tickets. And you're thinking, oh, we're going to get something cool. And then she goes up to the counter and she gives her all her tickets. And it's like 200 tickets. And the best she can get is like two pieces of gum.
Right.
Like, I was like, oh, my God. She thought she was getting a toy. And no, and I guess you can buy items. Like, you can slip the people money and go like, all right, look, my kid is going to scream when she finds out all these tickets that she won is going to get her, like you said, an eraser. I'd really like to get her that. Can you just make that happen? Here's whatever it's going to take.
I feel arcades have also got more expensive. I took my kids to Dave and Buster's.
Oh, it did, completely.
I took them to Dave and Buster's the other day. We went like $25 to me. Maybe I'm showing my age a little bit, but I would be gone for a couple hours if I had $25.
If I had $25 at an arcade, my parents could leave for a week.
Exactly. Yeah, and I went there. We think we burned through $25 in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like games are $1, $1.50 to play.
You don't know how much the games are now.
You just stick the card in,
and it says, you know, 9.9.
Yeah.
6.4. I'm like, how am I even supposed to keep track of this?
Listen, we used to get tokens. We used to go to a place called Fun Spot in New Hampshire. We used to get tokens. Right. So basically a token was a quarter.
Yep.
Right. And if you had a game that required two tokens, it better be amazingly good to require me to put two tokens in it. If it was not a good game and the only reason I was putting two tokens in there was because it was new, I would double check it. I wouldn't want to do it. You're giving up some currency there for a game.
Do you remember a game? I think I had to be in junior high school when this game came out. It was a hologram game that kind of borderlined, was almost like a Dungeons and Dragons type of game.
Dragon's Lair?
I think that might
be it. Was it like a cartoon?
Yeah, it was like a cartoon, but
it was a cartoon hologram. Yeah.
And you controlled the guy,
Yeah, Dragon's Lair. That was incredible because it wasn't like anything. It wasn't like the dot stuff that we got today.
That looked like video games today.
Because it was it had a cartoon look. It had a consistent look.
That was definitely two quarters.
That was definitely two quarters.
I would spend money on that, but I could never get really past. I never got past the second level.
No, I couldn't either. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know if I was doing it correctly. I never could figure it out. It would just show me the scene where I was successful, and I'm like, okay, good. Apparently, I did something right. Let me go on to something else.
And then they would have a little cartoon like showing your victory, and you're like, all right. But the guy was a wimp. So I never really quite understood, like, why did I choose this knight? Where's my muscular-bound knight?
One of my failures as a parent was there was a place in New Jersey where I lived about 20 minutes from me where they had an old-time arcade. And in that old-time arcade, it was just because it was the games that, you know, I grew up on. And it was basically come in and you would get a thing that was time stamped and you could play as many of these as you wanted. No quarters necessary. Just go up to a machine. If it was available, you just press start. And then when you left, you paid per person per the amount of time that you spent in the arcade. I wanted so badly to show my kids track and field, Pac-Man, Asteroids, Q-Bert. I mean, I couldn't wait to get there. I took them there. Burger Time. I couldn't wait to get there. My kids initially were kind of amused by the whole, oh, look at this, dad's old video games, ha. 5 minutes in, they didn't want to be there anymore, and I was losing them quickly. I mean, losing them quickly, and I felt horrible. But I said, look at this game, it's track and field, you can like run the dash. and they weren't interested at all.
Yeah, you gotta hit the buttons really,
hit
really
right
fast.
At the same time, and then you have to hold it down for a certain amount of time, because if you hold it too long, the javelin is gonna go straight up in the air, or if you let go of it too quickly, you only get 26 degrees of launch and it's gonna go short. You gotta get it to be like 45. And I was trying desperately to explain this to them, and it literally was just flying over their heads, and they were like, no,
because now they need first person shooter games where where's the bags of goodies that I can go find? It's like, no, we didn't have that.
Yeah, I showed my kid Burger Time, which was the game. You remember Burger Time? Walk across like a bun and it would fall down. Your goal was to collect the burgers. Well, after I finished a level, my son said, "What happens now?" And I was like, "Well, you do another level and they just get faster." It was like, "That's it?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, there's you're not chasing something, or you're not going after something, or you're not getting another." No, you're just.
There's no gold medal at the
there's
end.
There's no, yeah. No, you just do this, and then it's just the same thing, except the people that are chasing you are just going a touch faster. And that just was like, it was just inconceivable to him. He's like, "That seems like a waste of time." I was like, "Oh, God." I was like, I couldn't wait. When I was a kid, I couldn't wait to see what video games were. When I just couldn't wait to see what the technology would bring. Now I have it, and I long for just simple roll over the tomato to drop it down on the bun.
Or just, you know,
that's all I wanted.
Paperboy was all about just
Paperboy. That was all. Yeah.
Throw paper at a door, you get points. That was it. And then, you know, sometimes there were more obstacles in the way.
Yeah. Or the root beer tap game or the beer tap game where you're just serving beers down the line. That's all you did. And it just ate up every quarter I had. It's crazy. Now this segment goes back to the electric football. Now I'm going to buy an electric football, see what my kids think of that. This disaster.
Oh, they're
this was Madden back in our day.
It was the way we could pretend to be our heroes.
That's right. This is how we got to be the characters you see, the players you see on Madden. This was what we did. My kid was going to be like, "Oh, thank God I was born in 2005. Oh, thank God. It's like if I was born in 1973, I'd lose my mind." Well, that's technology for you. By the time, you know, and I keep thinking, do you ever think about what your kids are going to say about video games?
Like, what's
to their
next?
Kids?
Yeah, what's next?
Yeah, like, are our kids going to say, "Oh, when I was a kid, you had to wear glasses in order to be in the world. You had to put on a helmet to be immersed into the reality."
That's
the
why
kids
I think,
are like, "Really? You had to wear something to be immersed in the video game reality? Wow, that's insane."
I almost want to say maybe 5-6 years ago, there was a PlayStation commercial that was going around, and they were like, it was like the future, and it was like PlayStation 16 or something like that. And it literally was just a kid like tapping the side of his head and being in a video game, and no controller. It was just like glasses just appeared. And I'm literally thinking, like, okay, that commercial might be accurate. That might
That's
be
coming.
The future.
That's got to be coming.
Because I never, as a kid, I never would have foreseen that you could, you know, put on a headset and be completely immersed. I don't know if you remember this game, Captain Power.
Yeah, absolutely, I do.
Where you had a rocket ship and you shot at a screen. And this technology, I still don't get, because you put in a VCR to play the game. You
put that's a VHS right.
to play the game, and you shot this rocket ship at a screen, and you got points. I'm thinking about, like, now that I'm older and wiser, I'm like, I don't think I was actually playing the game.
No, you probably weren't. We probably weren't. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Because I don't know how you could, you know, manipulate a VHS tape, because I had to rewind it afterwards.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
I had to rewind the level.
Oh, that's crazy. That's crazy. All right, that's Ron Culver. I am Tony D. This is SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I mentioned at the start of the hour that I watched the Croatia-England match that Croatia won in the World Cup. I'm not going to tell you I'm a big World Cup fan. It just every 4 years it comes, I try to absorb much of it as I can. I found myself home yesterday afternoon. I really wanted to watch it. I did watch it. I have to say, the emotion of this sport is pretty incredible. I mean, because of what is at stake and the bragging rights of being a World Cup winning country, for Croatia, it is a country of 4 million people, and they're heading to their first ever World Cup finals. They haven't been around that long. I mean, they broke off from Yugoslavia, so they haven't been around that long. But they're heading to their first World Cup final. What was lost? I don't know if you saw the goal that put Croatia up 2-1, but they jumped as they were jumping and celebrating. They piled onto a photographer that was on the sidelines. Did you see this?
Yeah, he's a new member of Croatia.
Oh, my God. They were all jumping on him, and the press guy was in the middle, and he's on top. He's on the bottom, I should say, of a pile of Croatian soccer players all celebrating this incredible goal at the 109th minute.
I just hope he got some good photos.
I hope he not only got some good photos, I hope they gave him a shirt or some gear or something. Well,
afterwards they helped him up. Every single player was kissing him.
Oh, that's right. They were giving him smooches and whatnot. Yeah, that was great. Good. It's pretty emotional. But I do hear, I'm going to talk about this later in the show, that FIFA is saying, please stop showing attractive women in the stands. It's borderline sexist.
They control the cameras.
My God. It's like
there's only one feed coming out of the stadium. They control it, and they allow everyone else. They allow Fox to use their video feed. So that's on them. That's not.
I would think so, right? I don't think that Fox and all these other broadcasting, but I can't speak for the rest of the world, but they control all of that, don't they? I mean, it's a pretty well run broadcasting thing. You're just providing your announcers, right? You're not providing anything else as a television entity to the World Cup.
Yeah, you have no say in it. Besides, what's wrong with us, looking at different flavors across the world?
I don't know. I don't know why we've gotten to this point where an attractive woman celebrating her country's goal or victory is now awfully off the board. You can't do it. Nope. Can't do it.
I want to see them jump up and down.
Of course we want to see them jump up and down. SB Nation AM.